All right, Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 28. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And now I'll hand it over to Pastor Evan.
Happy Sabbath again, everybody. And thank you for reading that, Dave. Let me turn in my Bible here. Okay. Let's pray before we get into the Word. Dear Father in Heaven, please give me the words to speak and make this a blessing for everybody. In Jesus' name, amen. In the passage that Dave just read, Jesus, right before that, he had just told his disciples that he was going to die and be raised up the third day. So when you look at why he's saying this, I mean, when someone says they're going to die and you're following them and they're supposed to be a great leader, that there's kind of a cognitive disconnect there. Like, they're saying, wait, you're going to die? And the question comes, why should we follow someone that's going to die? Well, Jesus gives the answer right after he says he'll be killed. He says he will rise on the third day. And that's where our hope lies, in that Jesus has resurrected to give us eternal life. And right after that, he begins to tell them, if you want to follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. And it is a cross to follow someone that has been nailed to a cross, because outwardly that looks like a loser, a criminal. But then Jesus goes on to say at the end of his statement there that Dave so nicely read, he says, But the Son of Man will return in the glory of the Father and bring his reward with him. And that's where our hope lies. Not only was Jesus resurrected, he bore the cross, he resurrected, but we will also bear a cross. Maybe not be crucified, but we're also given a hope past that cross of resurrection or being taken straight to heaven. So what we're going to do today is we're going to take a look at this passage in Matthew 16, verses 24 and forward from there. And we're just going to go through some of the words there and talk about this passage. So the first statement here is, it says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There's a word there, and it's desires. Where does this desire come from that to follow Jesus? Well, let's go back into the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. We'll get to the verse in a moment. So, in Ezekiel 36, God has given a message to the people. And in verse 26 is, let you get that up so you can sit down. 36:26. And leading up to that verse, what we have is God is talking to the people and he's demonstrating to them his mercy. So let's go in here, and it says in verse 16, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman and her customary impurity. Therefore, I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for their idols, which they had defiled it." And then the Lord goes on to say that he scattered them because of how they had turned from him. They didn't want to worship him. They didn't want to listen to him. So he gave them to their own ways, and they ended up being scattered throughout the land. And what he's showing here is that these people, they're wicked. They're not naturally wanting to follow God. If they go away from him, they're going to worship idols. They're going to sacrifice their children to foreign gods. And then the Lord in his mercy makes a statement to them. Here's what he says in Ezekiel 36, verse 22. He says, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord, I don't do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I'll sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes." Then in verse 26 it says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." So we are much like these people in ancient Israel. We don't have a natural desire to serve the Lord. By our unholy example, by our wayward ways, we've given a bad example to the world of what a Christian is and what a follower of Christ is. And God says, I'm not going to do this through you because of anything that you've done. I love you, but you're not that great. You need me to even look good before the rest of the nations. And here's what I'm going to do for you and in you. I'm going to sprinkle you with clean water. I'm going to make you clean. I'm going to wash away your sins. I'm going to clean up your character faults. And I'm going to put a new heart within you, so that my holy name will be glorified among the nations, and anyone who hasn't had a good example of what a Christian is and haven't had a chance to know me, through you they will see what I'm like and they will come to me. That's part of this last work to the world. And going back to Matthew 16, that desire to serve God is the new heart put within you. It's the new heart put within you that God gives. And that new heart leads us to the next statement. It says, to come after me. See, with a new heart, you can come after the Lord. And you can seek him with your whole new heart. Why should we come after God? This is a good question, actually. Because we don't go after things we don't want. So the Lord, in his wisdom, he's given us reasons to come after him. one reason I can think of to come after him is he gives good gifts. We've mentioned it a few times already today. The Lord's given some nice cool weather, some sunshine. He's given the nice scent of the fresh flowers coming up in this springtime. In fact, looking outside of the church, I can see some nice pink flowers out there. God gives good gifts. He's given us bodies to use to do work, given us minds, and he's given us friends, families. He gives good gifts. That's one reason why we should go after him and serve him. Another thing, this is even better than his gifts. It's what he stands for. He stands for, you know, families being together. He stands for justice. He stands for mercy. He stands for all the good values in life. Anything that is good on this earth comes from God. In the New Testament, it's written that all good gifts come from the Lord. And the virtues are actually one of his gifts. Kindness, gentleness, patience, long-suffering, peace. Don't you want all those things? Those all come from God. That's another reason to come after God, is because of all those things. And we're asking, why should we come after Jesus and follow him? Why should we do it? One reason he gave to the Israelites is in Exodus 20, verse 1. It's actually part of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 1. And 2, 1 and 2 actually. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I'm going to stop right there. God begins the first commandment by reminding the people of what he's done for them, how he brought them out of Egypt. Not only has God given us, me, you, the world gifts, and given us good virtues, but he's given us freedom from bondage. He's taken us out of some form of slavery, and he's gotten us out of prison. He's rescuing us from the devil's prison house of death. So even in practical life here, maybe some of you have been in captivity and bondage to certain sins, and the Lord has liberated you from those sins. Maybe you were in a bad family situation and the Lord exiled you out of that situation for your safety. Or you were working somewhere where you just couldn't take it anymore and the Lord plucked you out of that place and found you a better job. Somehow, the Lord has brought you out of bondage. And even better than those things is the bondage that he's taken us from and given us eternal life. Because the devil is a slave master and he has you captive in his prison house, doomed to death if you're following him. But you don't have to go to that prison house. You don't have to go into that dark dungeon if you follow Jesus. And so we want to follow God because he's taken us out of captivity and he promises to take us out of captivity. That's why he claims our worship, not only because he's creator, but because he loves us and he is on a mission to save us and liberate us. Then we get a picture of that actually in Revelation 12. Let's go take a look over there. Revelation chapter 12. We're still looking at why we should follow the Lord and what he does for his people. Revelation chapter 12. And this is even a typology, an example of what God did for the people in Egypt. He actually does this over and over again throughout history and for us individually in Revelation 12, verse 13 is where we'll start, and just kind of try to get an idea of what God is doing here, not necessarily the historical fulfillment of it right now, but get a picture of what God is doing here. Revelation 12, verse 13 says, "Now when the dragon saw that he'd been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she's nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent." When that woman gave birth to that child, the dragon wanted to kill it, and he wanted to kill the woman, and he chased that woman, but God gave the woman the wings of a great eagle to escape out into the wilderness. God did that for the church in the Dark Ages. He did that for the Israelites when they were slaves in Egypt. In fact, that's kind of similar in some ways because to what happened with Moses. Moses was born, and the dragon through Pharaoh actually tried to kill Moses and many of the children. And eventually, God gave them escape into the wilderness. So this is what God does over and over again. He takes his people and rescues them from the dragon, gives them a place out in the wilderness to be nourished and protected from the wrath of the dragon, however the dragon is working in history, in our lives. And so God rescues his people. That's why we should follow him, because he takes care of his people. When the wrath of the dragon is furious and burning and about to kill his people, God gives the wings of a great eagle to escape into the wilderness. So that's why we should follow God, because he cares about us. Now let's go back to Matthew 16 and talk about taking up the cross. Matthew 16, we'll go back over there. Matthew 16, verse 24 still. It says, "Take up his cross. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Oh, I should have, I meant to say we're on deny himself. We should go back to that. The apostles denied themselves in following Jesus. You think about the fishermen he came to, making a livelihood with their family, the comfort of a family trade, and consistent work, maybe hard work, but they had a job. Jesus came to those fishermen, and he said, "Come, follow me." They had to deny themselves of the comforts and the familiarity of their normal occupation to go and follow Jesus on the road for 3.5 years. They denied themselves. Moses was in place to be a powerful ruler in Egypt, grew up in Pharaoh's house, was going to be rich, had all the food, the clothing, luxury, authority, respect that he could want. But God made the call for Moses to be a leader for his people, and Moses accepted that call, stepped away from the riches of Egypt, and went to lead an unthankful people out in the wilderness and take them out of Egypt. That's taking up a cross, but he did it. He denied himself and his own desires for the sake of God's people. Then you look at the apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul. He was a powerful religious leader, had a good group of friends that he worked with to destroy the Christians. He was zealous for his cause, and he was well respected, very well educated. And when the call came to him on that road to Damascus, when he fell down blinded, and Jesus came to him, He said, Lord, what do you want? And that took self-denial because he gave up the position, he gave up the power, and also the comforts of what his life was before in order to follow Christ. And then you have Joseph back in the days, back in the Old Testament in Genesis. Joseph denied himself also. He was ruling in Potiphar's house, and he had the opportunity to sleep with Potiphar's wife. But he denied himself, he denied his own pleasure, and he decided to obey the commandments of the Lord. That's taking up the cross and following Christ. Maybe denying yourself good things for the sake of Christ, and hopefully it is denying bad things for the sake of Christ, for love of Him, like Joseph did. So denying yourself is a crucial part of the gospel. There's some form of sacrifice that has to take place when you come to follow Christ. It involves taking up some sort of cross. Jesus does say His yoke is easy, His burden is light. He gives us the strength when we need it. And there's also sacrifice. When you go on a journey to follow someone, think about when you go on vacation or when you begin a new job or you begin a new phase of life. Maybe you get married. You have to leave something behind whenever you go on a journey. Whenever you go somewhere, you got to leave something behind. And when you choose to follow Christ, there'll be something that you need and will have to leave behind. Whatever that may be. And I'd like to talk about following now. And the verse it says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I did just mention about following. You have to leave something behind. But in order to follow and go on that journey, there has to be a goal up ahead. And Jesus has set the goal before us. It's eternal life. And it's getting to be with our Creator in heaven. That goal will take faith, perseverance, and more than faith and perseverance. That'll keep you going on the road. But the one thing that will get you to that goal of being with Jesus one day in heaven, it's love. Love. In the Ten Commandments is the law of love. Love God and love your neighbor. If I love the Lord and if you love the Lord, you will be in heaven. That's what matters. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. No man has greater love than this, than that he lays down his life, denies himself for his friends. That love will give you the motivation. That love will give you the energy. It'll give you the footsteps. It'll give you the fuel. It'll give you the engine, the energy, the electricity to continue on that path up to Jesus. I want to talk about following here. Let's go to the book of Ruth. Ruth is a good example of following. I'm going to have to look up the place of Ruth here. That's it. 327. Okay. Ruth. Ruth. So Ruth was a lady who was married to a worshiper of the true God, and her and her sister had worshipped idols in the past, but they chose to go and be with someone who worshiped the true God. But unfortunately, Ruth's husband died. And here's what happened. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 14 it says here. Ruth 1:14. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So Orpah's Ruth's sister-in-law, and Ruth is the wife of Orpah's son. Verse 15 says, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Verse 18 says, when Orpah saw that she, when Orpah saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. So she didn't say go back, she just let her come with her. And, I'm sorry, I said Orpah. That's Ruth's sister-in-law. Yeah, I'm sorry about that, everybody. Got the names mixed up. But the key here is Ruth, even when she had the chance to go away, given the choice to go back to foreign gods, to go back to old ways, she chose to go after the Lord with all of her heart. Zach mentioned in Sabbath school today that we should seek the Lord with all our heart. Ruth sought the Lord with all her heart, and she loved her mother-in-law. And when we follow Christ, we would do well. This is actually a great prayer, something to practice saying to the Lord, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. You will be my God. And that's actually a nice adaptation to pray to the Lord. So Ruth is a good example of what it means to follow. And she's, and we can follow the Lord like Ruth. Another example is Elisha. I've mentioned him before. He was the prophet that came right after Elijah, given the chance to continue working with his animals when he first got called into ministry. He decided to follow Elijah. And at the end of his ministry too, Elisha was told to go and not follow Elijah anymore, but he stuck and kept persisting and pursuing after Elijah so that he could get the double portion, the double blessing he knew that would come. And when we follow Christ, we're promised a blessing, and there'll be opportunities for us to walk away from him. There'll be opportunities to go back to old ways of life, and there'll be parts in the road to go one way or the other. And some may not even be bad parts in the road, but there's always a better choice. Two choices could be good, but one's always better. And the Lord wants us to follow him and seek that double portion, seek the best from him while denying ourselves. There may be temporary self-denial, but the reward is much greater in the end. And I want to talk about this statement here. It says, for whoever desires to save his life, this is in Matthew 16. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's natural for us to want to save our own lives. But in death, there is life like a seed. Paul talks about this. When the body is sown in corruption, it's raised in life. A seed has to die before it can produce what it's really meant to become. And so too for us, we must deny ourselves and die in Christ in the waters of baptism and be resurrected into new life. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Not just lose your life. People lose their lives for different causes, but that doesn't mean they'll be saved. It doesn't mean they were good people. Jesus says, loses his life for my sake, for love of me. If you lose your life, then you will find it. That's what Jesus says. And you know, when you get a picture of who Jesus is, when you see what he stands for, how he loves to bring people out of captivity, out of the prison house, he loves to bring families together, he loves to pardon iniquities, loves to pardon sins, he loves to see people resurrected from death to life. You look at the Ten Commandments, the law of love. When you look at those things, you can't help but want to follow him. And the best example, of course, is his death on the cross. When you truly look at that humble Savior hanging there on the cross, there's something about it that draws us to him. Something about it. And it's the pearl of great price. That pearl of great price is stamped with a cross. You see the pearl, you see the cross, and you'll give everything if you're willing. You know, it's worth giving everything to get that pearl of great price. There's a cross with it, but it's a pearl. It's a pearl of great price. And Jesus makes a good question here in verse 26. He says, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? You know, compare the two, world or your life. World or life. You got to choose one or the other. And he says, what profit is it really if you gain the whole world but you don't have life? Jesus has promised eternal life, and that's what he's holding out in his right hand for us. We can be a sheep on his right hand rather than a goat with the world on the left hand. And then it says here, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's a deep and heart-searching question there. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? And people, we all have to answer that question. That question comes deep to the heart for each one of us. Esau gave his inheritance for some lentils. Balaam, the false prophet in the Old Testament, he gave his soul for riches. He gave his life for riches. But there were many, many people throughout Scripture who gave their life for Christ, and they ended up with more life in the future promised to them. So, what will you give in exchange for your soul? Will you give yourself to Jesus and have life forever, or the world and some of its fleeting pleasures and death forever? Jesus asks the question, and then he gives an answer of hope at the end. He doesn't say it's all going to be a cross, it's going to be tough. He doesn't leave them there hopeless. In verse 27 of Matthew 16, he says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each according to his works. There's so much hope in that statement. He says, I'm coming back with all of my friends, the angels, I'm coming back in the glory of my Father, and I'm bringing my reward with me. I'm bringing my reward with me.